Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 465 of Power Rangers, Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 7, Thunder Strangers, part 3.
It aired on March 22nd, 2003, written by the artist formerly known as Ann Knapp, Ann Austin, and directed by Andrew Merrifield.
That's a new name.
It is.
That seems new.
Weird to have a new guy direct the last part of a three-parter.
Yeah.
Charlie Haskell,
you know, he
walk?
Happened? No, I'm sure Charlie just, you know, I would say union, but he's dead. They're definitely not union, so I don't know. I don't know what happened. Anyway, if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back, we talk about it. You can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because Ninja Storm rules. We talked about how much the last episode ruled last time. Like a lot, and if that's any indication of how the rest of the series is going to go, I think you should watch Ninja Storm for us, your friends, and for yourself.
Yeah, do it for you. If you're just like, man, I just want to watch like a pretty fun, good season of Power Rangers, I think this might be the one.
Yeah, you deserve it. Ninja Storm kicks ass. Anyway, we're going to go watch Thunder Strangers Part 3 right now.
Ninja Storm Ranger Form! And we're back, and I have been threatened with pit traps.
Yeah.
And so all the podcasts are canceled until
until
Jake promises no pit traps.
All right, I promise.
All right, I believe you. We just watched Thunder Strangers Part 3.
We did.
It feels like we've watched Thunder Strangers Parts 3 and 4.
I feel like we watched Thunder Strangers Part 1 and 2, and then Thunder Strangers Part 3 is actually a different episode pretty much altogether.
Yeah, this could have been
its like own
Plate of Thunder or something. Something just like different.
Yeah. I think it was still a good episode.
I do too.
I still liked it, but it definitely did not. We don't need to have to put all three of them up in 1 week, is I think something that they did to us that they didn't need to do.
I don't think Papa Disney needed to do that to us, but
no,
that's fine. At least they were fun to watch.
They were. HeyJakeAndJosh.com, that's the website. You can go there. You can listen to old episodes up through Lost Galaxy. You can also find our classic feeds, which are updated through Terp. If you want to listen to all those, you can watch them too, but not on the podcast feeds. That would be illegal and impossible.
You got to put them into Winamp and turn your visualizer on.
Yeah, and then just kind of feel the sounds of the dulcet tones of these two idiots talking about Power Rangers. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Mare Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We're on Podknife. We're on Podbay. We're on Podbaby. We're on Pod of Souls. That's where dead people do podcasts.
Uh-huh.
Is that anything? It's Ghost Podcast from Beyond the Grave.
Ooh.
You ever wonder what Jimi Hendrix's podcast would be about?
Oh, I would join whatever you said that was called.
I think I said Pod of Souls, but I can't remember. Yeah. It was 1 second ago.
What about POD casts where it's just alt metal band POD does podcasts?
I would not listen to that.
I don't know what made me just think of that.
I don't either.
I guess I finally realized how podcast is spelled.
Well, it's only been 6.5 years. It had to happen eventually. Yeah, if you want to leave us a rating review, any of those places. Obviously, we're not on Pod of Souls yet, but at some point, we will be in the far future. If you want to leave us a rating review, that helps out a bunch. Also, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you get some neat stuff in return. You get bonus episodes and early episodes. You can help support the show, which we really appreciate, if you just hop on over to patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. Josh, this is a Friday episode. I don't think we have any emails.
All right, we've got one review over on, Mare Podcasts.
Heck yeah.
From, I guess, still iTunes user, Space King Bob. Is it Apple Music user now? What is it?
I mean, whatever your heart says, you know?
It's too long of a title for me to read on my phone, so from the deepest depths...
fill in the blank at home.
5 stars, obviously.
Heck yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
It reads, I've been in the deepest depths of moon jail for the past several years, and I do not like it nice. I do, however, like this podcast very nice. I'm a lifelong Power Rangers fan and have, in the last couple years, gotten back into Power Rangers and the fandom. This is a great show if you're a Power Rangers fan, as your hosts Jake and Josh dissect and riff the goings-on of your favorite teenagers to early adults with attitude. Or if you like tangents about serials, school stories, film knowledge, professional wrestling, and more. More is in all caps.
There is a lot more.
This gets 12 out of 10 magic wands. Enjoyment guaranteed. That's it.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you, Bobby.
I need magic wands because I don't have...
It's hard to get star pieces.
I don't have a big one, so I can't make a wand.
No one ever tells me when there's meteors in my town. I love meteor showers, and everyone's keeping that from me, and I don't know why. After all I've done for this town, which is every single thing there is for the town, I did it. Except for one iron to upgrade my Nook store, or to make my Nook store, and 225 total bells between the two bridges I have.
Ooh, your villagers are very generous. I know you gave me one bell, so that one bell is, I think, the only thing I have not done for the island.
Well, thank you for your service. You also still have a tiny house, right?
I have a middle house.
Okay.
It's not tiny, but it's a little house.
Okay.
I have one expanded room.
One room? Okay.
I need to update it again, though, because I'm running out of storage space. Anyway, that's a different podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is all to say, pretty wonderful time under the Pokemon World Tour banner currently. Go check that out. Josh, before we jump into the episode, I was going to read new patrons, but actually, no, we can do new patrons. Let me find where I'm 90% certain it ends. Okay. We've got a couple, and they're kind of spread out because we took a month off. Also, on Wednesday, we need to record us reading all the patrons, and then I'm going to put that in the front of the fourth episode. I'm just going to put that in episode 4. So you already heard us read all the patrons, including these new people, but they're new now, so we're going to read them now. First up is John W.
Thank you, John.
Next is Robert H.
Thank you, Robert.
Terrence K. is a new patron.
Thanks, Terry. I hope you like that. Sometimes I just give people nicknames.
We're all friends here, and so we can just give everyone nicknames because we're all friends. Daphne is a new patron.
Thanks, Daphne.
Sean C. is a new patron.
Thank you, Sean.
And that is it. I threw my phone on the ground because I'm so excited about all of our great new patrons. I lost my phone. I found it.
You need that. Get that.
I have all my notes on here.
We can't do the show. I mean, we could do the show without it, but it's probably not going to be very good.
Yeah, it'll be a little weird. Before we jump into the episode, can I tell you something that happened to me last night / this morning?
Sure.
I had sleep paralysis for the first time.
Oh, that's fun. Did you see the demons?
No. See, my light was on, so the demons couldn't come get me.
Oh, I see.
But what had happened was I was watching a stream. I watch a lot of Twitch streams now, and I especially at night, I'll put a Twitch stream on and then just like have that on for like noise while I sleep. But I fell asleep with my light on, and I was in my bed under my weighted blanket, and I had a beer and took sleeping pills because I don't think you're supposed to do that, but they're very gentle sleeping pills, and so it's fine. They're over-the-counter, store-brand Z-Quil. It's nothing. It's fine. And so I was there, and I was like, all right, yeah, I'm just going to do it. Yeah, then I'll start falling asleep once, because it'll, like, hit you, and you'll be like, oh, now I'm drowsy. I can fall asleep, and then I'll turn my light off and go to bed like you do. But then I just fell asleep just sitting up in my bed with my light on and my laptop on my bed. And I woke up at some point, and I went to – I was like, oh, I can close this. And I can turn my light off because I shouldn't have it on right now. And then I couldn't move, though. And it was very weird. My arms were in a weird place, too. Like, I was like they were crossed in a weird way. And I was like, just move your arm now, Jake. And I was still extremely sleepy and, like, drowsy because when I wake up, I am in outer space. and you can literally convince me of anything. I'm a gullible baby. This when I like the moment I wake up.
Yeah, didn't Tony convince you slept like through a whole day once?
I did like a 40-minute nap, and he convinced me that I slept through the entire day and no call, no showed work. And I was like, "What?" And I fully 100% believed him. It was 40 minutes later at the most. So yeah, so I was there, and I was just like, trying to close the tab I was in, and I just couldn't, and I was also not like awake enough to like do anything about it. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm sleep paralyzed. And then I went back to sleep.
Just go back to sleep.
I was like, I'm just going to sleep this one off. It was the weirdest feeling ever.
Yeah, you wake up, but your body is like, no, you're not ready.
Yeah.
Need a couple more minutes in the oven.
In the sleep oven. Get back in that sleep oven, Jake. And then I was like, okay, you got a body. And I went back into the sleep oven.
Well, at least you didn't see the demons. There was no demons. That's the most important thing. Because that I bet is very scary.
Oh, for sure. Also, a lot of people say they like feel like a weight on their chest a lot of the time. I did not, but I was also under a weighted blanket, so maybe it protected me from the demons.
Or it's the same amount of weight, so it just like balanced out.
Right.
And you couldn't tell.
I couldn't tell. I'm used to it. So anyway, so that's what happened to me last night, and that was weird. You want to talk about Power Rangers now?
Here's what keeps happening to me. I keep falling asleep before I remember to send you the episodes, and I have like 7 now that I need to send you, so hopefully I can remember to do that tonight.
Well, yes, do that, please.
I can't just do it when I go to work because Latasha's home and using the internet all day. Right,
and it will slow everything down across the board.
Everything will just stop. So,
all right, now that we have that all sorted out, where did my notes go? There they are. You want to talk about the episode?
Yeah, sure. I think that's what we do.
Sometimes, on occasion. Sometimes we talk about more, according to Bobby's review, which is...
including, but not limited to, X Games and Sobe Life Water this season.
Boy, do you want to know how much Sobe Life Water talk I cut out of the first episode? A solid 2 minutes. Like, 2 whole minutes. There's about 9 minutes of cut stuff just from the first episode. Two of them just Sobe Life Water talk.
That doesn't sound like a lot, but listeners, why don't you try talking to your friends about Sobe Life Water for 2 solid minutes?
Just in a row while you're trying to do something else.
Let us know how you do.
We start off on an evil dance party.
What is this?
They're just celebrating the fact that Sensei got kidnapped, I assume.
But they don't even have him yet.
No, he's on there. He is in transit.
Because on the viewing screen is the Thunder Rangers walking him through the woods.
Uh-huh.
But Mara and Capri are just, like, having, like, a catwalk dance party.
Yeah, Mara does, like, a little catwalk dance, and Capri's like, oh, and now it's my turn, and then does the same thing, basically, and
She also kicks Chubo?
Chubo, yeah.
She also, like, just kicks Chubo on her way by.
Yep, he trips over his own feet and falls down, too, at some point, and she's like, you suck, Chubo.
Mara sucks.
I hate you.
Mara's a jerk.
No, it's Capri.
Capri.
Capri's a jerk, and I do not like her. Oh, also, I noticed, first of all, the credits are different. Jorgito Vargas Jr., and whoever plays Hunter, whose name I didn't catch, are in the credits now. Also, another thing I noticed, Mara and Capri, they're actresses, both named Katrina. So that's got to be a little confusing on set.
One of them has to be Kat, and the other one is Trina.
Yes.
And then they do a fusion, they do a station fusion and become Katrina.
And they become Katrina. The one Katrina to rule them all. Zurgane comes up, he steps over Chubo's downed body, and he's like, hey, shouldn't we go kill them Thunder Rangers or whatever? And Lothar's like, clearly you've never thought about how to take over a planet before. Because you don't just, like, decide to do it one day. You don't just wake up out of a dumpster and say, I'm taking over a planet.
That would be stupid and ridiculous.
He's like, there's steps. First, you gotta take the opposition's leader. Check. And then we just see on his little viewing globe thing, that Hunter and Blake have a ball with Sensei in it. It's like it's a little soccer ball. It's a gerbil wheel. It's a gerbil ball, kind of, but it's opaque. And he's like, step two, take out their remaining troops, which we're going to do soon. Step three, something else. I forget what all the steps were, but one of them is...
Step three is ... And then step four is profit.
First, we get the khakis. Then we get the jobs. Then we get the chicks.
Yeah.
If I know the steps correctly.
First you get the sensei. Then you kill the rangers. Then you get the chicks.
He's like, okay, yeah, cool. And he's like, all right, Zergane, go dance now. You don't want to disappoint everybody. And then we just kind of like jump cut to Zergane dancing. He's doing the little like 1960s swimming eyes. He does the Egyptian walk, like an Egyptian walk. And then we cut to Cam and I think Shane and Dustin. Tori is also there, but she's like not on screen because she's
also
reading.
I think the dance party is it for Capri and Mara. That sucks. That's stupid.
That will be it for them today.
I mean, it's fine. You can get rid of Capri, too. All you need is Mara. Mara needs someone to riff with, so I guess Capri fills that role.
Yeah.
But I don't like Capri at all.
No, she's not mean in a way that I enjoy. She's mean in, like, a mean-spirited way. And
she's mean in a way that's too real.
It's too real, and it's not fun. And it also is just kind of rude. It's just, like... It's like jerky, and like that's I don't like jerks. I like a mean. I don't like them jerks. But so Cam's like, all right, Sensei, before he was captured, put himself in a gerbil ball, in a guinea pig ball, to protect him. He's in a sphere, and they can't, I guess, get through and snap his little guinea pig neck or whatever they want to do with him. So they're just gonna go do something then.
He's only in this ball because the footage that they use this episode has a ball in it.
Yes.
That they superimposed the gerbil into the footage, I think, a couple times.
Yeah. So also I found out that in Hurricanger, the sensei turns himself into a guinea pig also.
I keep saying gerbil, and Dustin will correct me later in the episode.
Yeah, he is sure about it. So then Tori from off screen goes, oh, obviously they're going to the Cavern of Souls. Or the Mountain of Lost Ninjas, where the Cavern of Spirits is, and inside that is the Gem of Souls.
And Cam is like, of course.
Obviously.
Where else would they go?
And then Dustin's like, oh yeah, it's where all the Lost Ninjas are, on the Mountain of Lost Ninjas. And Cam's like, oh, so you do read your ninja history? And he's like, yeah, sometimes. What about it? So
that I'm a Power Ranger, I figure maybe I should learn this stuff.
Yeah, you know. Also, this is cool stuff. This isn't like the War of 1812 or, you know, like the Missouri Compromise or anything. Like, I don't even know what I know what the War of 1812 was. It was a war that took place in the year 1812. What the Missouri Compromise is, I don't know. Ask me in sixth grade. Other than that, I can't tell you. They're like, yeah, okay, so the Gem of Souls can break the energy sphere that he's around. Also, they can track him. They can track Sensei with the energy sphere because ninja magic / radar.
Only within a 25-mile radius, I think he said.
Yeah, and they're about to leave the radius, so they need to get going. So then we cut to the Thunderpunks, and they're in the woods. And Hunter's like, you destroyed our adopted parents who gave us a home and were our parents, Sensei. So now we're going to do that to you. And Sensei doesn't say, like, no, that wasn't me. Sensei's just like, well, whatever. I guess you seem pretty mad. Then we cut to the mobile ninja ops truck. They're in a big semi in the back, which is driven by a drone, I think. I think it's remote control because Cam is definitely in the back of the truck with them, not in the cab.
Yeah, when he said it was a mobile command center when it first showed up, with the thunder cycles or whatever those were,
tsunami cycles.
There's so many weather cycles. Who can keep them?
Could be any of them.
Keep track. He said it was a mobile command center, but he also summoned it with a radio control car controller.
Yeah.
So I think it's just an automatic. Maybe he's driving it from the computer he's on.
Maybe, because that's what he's tracking Sensei on now. And he's like, all right, I can't go any further than this in my big semi. So
woods are too thick for a big semi to get in.
Yep. So pro tip, if you're out trying to outrun a semi, get in the woods. Follow up, cops can't drive their cars in the woods either, so you know, just keep that information on you if you need it. So they get on their tsunami cycles, and they in the back of the truck, in the mobile ninja ops, they have their face masks down. They're like helmets on, but the masks are down, And boy, did their faces just look squished.
So Shane especially, I noticed, is like Shane, really scrunched in there.
Because I feel like it's positioned in a way, at least for Shane, that like he can see through it, but only barely.
Yeah.
So like if he wants to get his like mouth and eyes, he's going to get right up in there and like try to push it through like he's on Courage the Cowardly Dog or something. So they get on their tsunami cycles and they drive out. We cut to, before we cut, Tori's like bumming in the back and Shane's like, hey, it wasn't your fault the sensei got kidnapped. And she's like, well, then whose was it? And he's like, you were just doing what you thought was right. Like that's any one of us would have done it. It's not.
Except maybe Shane if he had somewhere to be.
Right. Well, also, I don't think Shane, like Blake would have been dying and Shane would have been like, well, you're kind of a jerk to my friends. So walk it off, Blake, I guess. And that kind of like cheers her up a little bit. So then they get out. We cut to the Thunderpunks. Spooky ghosts attack them in the woods. Mm-hmm. We were talking about WMAC Masters before we started recording. This is extremely WMAC Masters.
Oh, yeah.
And you know we are into that.
Yep. I like them a lot. I don't think we're ever going to see them again because they're very specific to these woods. So unless we come back to the spirit woods, the poor spookies are gone forever. But they're very cool, I think.
Yeah. I think none of their masks are, like, the same. Like, they're all spooky masks. But they don't look like they're, like...
Yeah, they're all, like... It's all, like, kind of like the Scream mask, but, like, made by hand out of paper mache.
Yeah.
But each one of them is made different, so they're all unique.
Yeah, it looks really cool. So they start fighting them. The others show up. The Wind Rangers show up. They land in the middle of the Thunderpunks fighting the Spookies. And Dustin's like, wait, who do we fight? Because they're all surrounded now. And Shane says, anyone not wearing a primary color, which is very good.
Yeah, Tori's just like, sounds good. And just like jumps off her bike and starts kicking things.
Yeah. And there's like a big fight. They do a lot of team up moves. There's also a part where they're basically like playing keep away with Sensei. Like Shane gets it, but then Blake gets it back. And then they're tossing it back and forth.
In this fight with the Spookies, and then later on when it's just the Thunder Rangers versus the Wind Rangers, there's a lot of like fun ball moves.
Yeah.
Like just pretty seamlessly integrated into the fight choreography. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good fighting, and like I always like when Rangers have like things to fight around, like when they're on the playground or in like, you know, a thing with like that. It's also fun when they have like things to incorporate, like, you know, there's a ball with a gerbil in it. I keep calling him a gerbil. I know he's a guinea pig, and Dustin will correct me later. I guess I just want to call him a gerbil because it's easier to say than guinea pig.
Yeah, guinea pig's a lot of syllables.
It's just like kind of a mouthful. But he's like, like at one point later on, it's one of my favorite jokes in it, so I won't do it now, but like they use the guinea pig to like block, like they block punches with the ball.
Yeah.
And it's very good. So now they're all on the same team. They're not like entirely on the same team because they are like trying to play keep away, trying to get sensei. But then at some point they all land, you know, back to back to back to back to back to back, like in a circle. And we go to commercial and we come back and Shane's like, hey, truce. And Hunter's like, yeah, for now, I guess. So then they break up to like fight the Spookies together. And it's very good. They do a lot of cool team up moves.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have Shane and Hunter are fighting together.
Yeah.
And Tori and Blake are kind of fighting together. Like, not maybe together, but side by side. And they do a couple like team moves, maybe.
Yeah.
And then Dustin is on his own, but he's still doing very well.
He's on his own and he's doing well. And then he does join Tori and Blake at the end of the fight. Shane and Hunter, they do this thing where they go to punch a Spooky and it ducks and they both like together like bring the elbow down on it. And it's very good. It's just like, hey, look at you getting along. I like when Power Rangers get along and fight together. So then we cut up to Lothor, who's mad that they're teaming up, and he's like, Zurgane, you're gonna have to go down there and do something about this now that they're teaming up. We cut back. They have beaten all the Spookies, and immediately the truce is over, and they take the Thunders take the sensei ball and like kick the other ones and throw them into a pile on the ground. And then they teleport away. They like do that like ninja jump, right? Where you just turn into a streak.
Yeah, because the other, the main three are going to chase after them, and Shane yells, ninja streak, and then they just, like, do a weird, like, color teleport ninja jump.
Yeah, like in Naruto.
Yeah.
They catch up. Dustin's like, why are you doing this? And they're like, revenge. And then we see in the background a big monster, but it's not actually a monster. It's a robot.
Yeah, because it's being piloted by Sergain.
Yeah. He has a Zord.
Yeah.
This is not remarked upon past Dustin going, why does he get a Zord?
Yeah, who gave him the keys to a Zord? And then, I don't know. It's really weird because anytime a bad guy has had a Zord before, it's
always,
like,
a big deal.
A big deal across multiple episodes. And this one will be done in Act 2 of this episode.
I can think of two other times that a villain had a Zord. There was last season with the Predazord when Zenaku had it.
Yeah.
And there was the finale of season, or not the finale, but Doomsday in season 1 where Goldar had Cyclopsis.
And in season 2 when Zed has Serpentera.
Right, Serpentera. Yeah, I forget Serpentera's a Zord because it's like kind of this giant, it's like a piloting a moon at someone. Right. So big. But yeah, like it's like a huge thing otherwise, but then this time it's like, oh yeah, Zergain's got a Zord. Huh. Okay. Thunders take this opportunity to run away.
To just leave. And then Tori hands out the, like, battle tactics.
Yeah.
The strategy for this fight.
Cam says, like, you need to get my dad back. Like he just, like, I guess it's over the intercom, but it's just him yelling it at the camera.
Right.
And then Tori's like, all right, here's the plan. I'll take on Zergain. You go fight them and get Sensei back. So they split up. She jumps into the Zords. Cam sends her, like, the full Zords. And he's like, I'm sending you a disc that'll allow you to pilot them by yourself. So she one-woman armies just pilots the Megazord by herself. It's pretty rad.
She does land in the cockpit and say, who says women can't drive?
Yeah. It's 2003.
I say that, but I also say men can't drive, because if you've ever been on the road, nobody can.
Yeah, actually, no one knows how to drive, it turns out.
When she said that, I was like, why?
You know, it's 2003, it's low-hanging fruit, you know? I don't know.
I guess. This is like peak HLA WWE, I
think.
Right,
yeah. Every time I see Cena's, like he shows, like, in WrestleMania, like, his thing has, like, HLR, and the R looks like an A for a second. I was like, excuse me? But yeah, no, different thing. Anyway, so Cam sends her a power disc that lets her fight by herself. The others go and fight for the ball. This is when it's 2-on-2. They're fighting each other. Blake blocks one of Shane's kicks with the ball that Sensei is in. Shane hits it, pulls back, and goes, oh my god, I'm sorry, Sensei. And Sensei just goes, I'm fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's a protective energy ball.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing is that it's to protect him from attacks and stuff.
He's so nonchalant this whole time.
He is not bothered in the slightest.
Because the Rangers, like, get him, and they're like, yeah, we did it. We got Sensei back. And Sensei's like, oh, thank goodness. And then the Thunder Rangers, like, knocked him down and take him back, and he's like, well, might as well.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, okay.
He's just like, I can't do anything. I'm just a little gerbil. Guinea pig, I mean.
Yeah, it's not a gerbil, he's not a hamster. During the Zord fight, Tori's like, blizzard attack or whatever, and she Beyblades the lion head. There's like a ripcord, and I guess that starts spinning, and that combined with her water makes a blizzard attack.
It blows the real cold air out.
Yeah. And he gets hit with that, and it stops him for maybe 1 second, but it doesn't really do a lot. She gets knocked down at some point, but she gets right back up. Never going to keep her down. Then we go back to the other Rangers fighting. They pull out their weapons, and no, I'm thinking of something that happens later. They do pull out their weapons, but it's Dustin sword fighting Blake and Hunter and Shane just shooting at each other with the laser functions of their weapons.
Oh, they're having a fun game of laser tag.
They're doing laser tag.
Red Ranger laser tag.
With deadly stakes. Then, at some point...
this time, the lasers are real.
And if you die in the laser tag, you die in real life. At some point, Tori, it became apparent at this point that Tori is in the cockpit, but she's in the dolphin.
Yeah.
Like, which is the hand.
Yeah, I noticed they were all in different cockpits before. Like, they're not, they don't have a shared cockpit. Although I really feel like they did the first time.
I think they just cut the screen next, so they were all three in the shot, but it
could be
blended together good enough, because I also thought they were in the same cockpit, but I don't think they are.
Controlling it from the hand.
Gotta be weird, right?
It's super weird.
It's a weird vantage point to try to look at and plan for, especially because it's moving.
Yeah, the disc that Cam sent her should have overridden the cockpit in the head for her to pilot it. Because I feel like she doesn't have all of the controls in the hand.
Definitely not. I mean, the consoles are all basically the same, so maybe that's what it is. Is it like it's a complete override? I don't know. It's Power Rangers. It's whatever. But like, it's got to be weird to be in the part that you're moving and punching with and then control the rest of the body that isn't moving.
Instead of being in the eyes so you can see what you're... Right, the Megazord sees?
Or the chest, so you're centralized. Like, it's very strange. She's knocked down and, like, grabbed again, and it looks like Zurgane's going to kill her. She takes her face mask down, which I don't like during the fight. I didn't like it.
Did she take it down now? I thought it was down after she got hit. Maybe it was down first.
By now, it is down, because she's got her face mask open. Because she's doing quips and stuff with the face mask down, and it doesn't work as well.
Yeah, I get why it's down, because Zurgane straight up just punches her cockpit with his big Zord, and it cuts away really fast, like she's dead.
The Thunders see this and take advantage of it by running away. They're like, well, now that this is – or no, they don't run away. They attack, because like Shane and Dustin are like, whoa, Tori, and then the Thunder Rangers attack them. Then they are all – I think – is this when they are all like together? Or no, I think that's later. There's a lot of fights, and I'm getting them all mixed up in my head.
Yeah, it was a very combat-heavy episode. Yeah. I know at some point we cut back into the cockpit, and Tori is okay. This is when I realized that her mask was down, and I was like, well, this is so that she can express emotions through her face.
Yeah, I mean, the suit actors are very good at doing that. They have a lot of practice, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so she has like a memory of Cam, and... like that is enough to like get her to be like, no, I have to save Sensei, and this is how I'm going to do it. The other two get the same thing, so they do. They're about to do a team attack while she's like, Zord's nothing without its accessories, and calls down two very strange accessories.
Yeah, because she gets up, she like punches Zurgane off of her, and is like, I'm sick of you ruining my day. I'm gonna put this cool hair dryer together.
It's the first part of it is it comes down in two parts. She summons two spheres. The first one is like a lion puppy.
It makes little dog noises, but it definitely has a mane.
It's got a mane, but the mane is like bolts, right? And the second thing she summons down is a squid that is also bolts at the bottom, and they connect together to make a drill hair dryer thing
that fires out bullets like a Gatling gun.
Yeah. It's powered by the turbine. Like the turbine spins and that's what shoots the bullets out. They're very adorable little things, and it's weird. Like, I get that all of their weapons are like animals, you know? Like, because like the ram hammer and the serpent sword.
We're already creeping up on the same count of animal zords as the last season.
I feel like we're pretty close to the same based on accessories and stuff. But then she just blasts Zurgane's robot dead. The Rangers are doing a team attack where Dustin picks up Shane by like the arm like they're cheerleaders and then throws them at the other Power Rangers.
Yep.
I don't know what it did other than just hit him quick because they're running away.
Is this when Shane does that like flying kick?
But I think so.
Where he does like a bicycle kick, but the animation gets stuck, so only one leg stays out.
Yes.
And so he's pushing Hunter, who has Sensei, with his left foot and just shooting him with his gun the whole time.
So he gets Sensei back. She does a dolphin laser. Oh, he calls it Ninja Air Assault to get Sensei back. which I guess is just a bicycle kick plus shoot him with a laser in the head 50 times. But so she does like the dolphin laser, and then this thing, they die. The theme song kicks in right when she like fires up the Gatling gun, and it kind of kicks ass. It's like a good use of the theme song.
Yeah, and then she pumps like 5,000 bullets into the bad Zord. Because she's done. She was really done with him ruining her day.
Yeah, she's over it, man. So then they get back together. They're like, yeah, we did it. And I think Shane's like, I think we lost him. Woo. And then Tori runs up like, heck yeah. Look what we all did. I mean, you two just fought two regular people, and I fought a whole monster with a Zord by myself. But it's cool. It's fine. Same amount of work, basically. And then the Thunder Rangers attack them again. Blake is fighting them hand-to-hand, and Hunter's, like, standing back with their, like, Thunder Striker, their two, like, major weapons, like, together. And he's like, I can't get a good shot. Blake, get out of there. And Blake's like, just shoot him. And so he does. And Tori's, like, looks right before he shoots, like, wait, what are you doing? And then...
Yeah, both Tori and Dustin are like, hey, we gotta get out of the way. Because Dustin's like, hey, Shane, we got to get out of here. And Shane, who is literally being grabbed and held by Blake, yeah, is like, I can't. I'm a little tied up.
I am busy. So they all get blasted. Sensei just goes, boop, and bounces right back over to Hunter, the ball. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, this is when he's like, oh, well.
All right. Blake gets back up. The two of them bail. Then we cut to, like, the Thunder Rangers on a beach, and they see the Cavern of Spirits.
Souls, spirits, and it's, ghosts.
It's a gem of souls in the Cavern of Spirits, I think.
On the Mountain of Lost Ninjas?
On the Mountain of Lost Ninjas, next to the Wood of Spooky Ninjas.
Right.
These are... The Cavern of Souls, or the Cavern of Spirits and the Gem of Souls are two Zelda games waiting to happen.
This whole thing could be a Zelda game. You got the Lost Woods and then the Cavern of Souls and the Gem of Spirits or whatever.
Yeah.
That's all Zelda shit.
That's all Zelda. That's the Zelda as hell, y'all.
When they were fighting the Spookies earlier, I do just want to point out that when they were all, like, all of their backs were together and they were like, we have to team up.
Yeah.
I think Dustin was like, these guys are really hard to fight. Like, they're very aggressive, or she said something like that, and Tori's like, well, they're dead, so they don't have anything to lose.
Yeah.
But she straight up called them dead?
I guess it's okay if they're ghosts. You can call ghosts dead, but you can't say you're going to kill someone.
Yeah, you can say they are dead, but you cannot say they were killed.
Yes, that's the difference. So, since it's like, hey, if you two go in there, like, it's going to be bad, and you can't ever take it back, whatever you do in there, and they're like, whatever, you destroyed our parents, so we're going to get revenge. And at no point does Sensei go, that's a lie, and I don't know where you're getting that. And he's just like, yeah, you wouldn't believe me anyway. Whatever.
Yeah. Like, he's just like, yeah, I probably did.
So then we cut back to Mobile Ops, and Cam's like, or I think Tori's like, they say that Sensei destroyed their parents. And Cam's like, that's impossible. He only fights in self-defense. He teaches everyone virtue and respect and honor and all the other regular ninja qualities that Power Rangers uphold. And she's like, yeah. We also don't believe them. Like, there's no way. Like, don't worry about it. We need to go find them. He's like, all right, be careful. Because they get to, like the little tracker goes to the end of the road where the cavern is. So then we cut into the Cavern of Spirits. And Hunter has the Gem of Souls. And he's about to just slap it down on the bubble to pop it.
Yeah, I guess you just smash it together.
Yeah, it doesn't, all you need to do is, it's literally like popping a balloon, but the balloon can only be popped by one thing, and it's this gem. But right before, Shane's like, they all just show up in there, like, don't do it. And they're like, I'm gonna, because he destroyed our parents. And I think they're like, Lothar told us so. And Tori's like, y'all.
Yeah, she's like, come hey, on. Have you talked to Lothar? Have you seen him?
Have you thought about that for even 1 second? And yeah, they're like, why wouldn't we believe him? And Justin's like, he's a bad guy?
Yeah, he's not known as a good guy.
But then, because Hunter's like, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. But then, two ghosts show up behind him. And they are their adoptive parents, because they take their little ghost masks, their ghost hoods off, and they're just two people. And they're like, it wasn't Sensei that did it. It was the one known as Lothar. And they're like, what? And then their mom's like, yeah, he, that gerbil didn't kill us. It was Lothar. Stop being so angry. Like, use your powers for good or whatever. Then Lothar just, like, steps in. The ghosts fade away.
Yeah, Lothar just shows up, and he's like, my ears reverting. Were you talking about me?
Right before that happens, the ghosts are just like, all right, peace, boys. And they're like, mom, dad, no, you're dead. We want to see you. And they're like, nope, gotta go.
It's so, because.
Get a haircut, Hunter.
Blake and Hunter are.
You're breaking your mother's heart.
She's like, he's right, you are. They're main characters at this point.
They're in their titles.
So I feel like maybe when they reconcile with the spirit of their dead parents, it should be more than just a like, okay, bye.
All right, see you later. Peace out, dudes. No, it's her parents. It's so weird. But yeah, then Lothar shows up. He's like, hey, my ears are burning. I thought, I think maybe you were talking about me. And Lothar is jokey. We were talking about this on the Discord the other day, that some people don't like Lothar because he's not serious. He's like a jokey character. But I think he is like 50 times more threatening than someone serious, as, for example, a Master Org, right?
Yeah, Master Org was stupid.
I was never afraid of Master Org, not even once, right?
Yeah.
But like, Lothar shows up still joking, and I'm like, this guy will kill these children. Like, I know that in my heart.
Yeah, because he definitely does not care about it.
No. And like, it's so weird to see like people be like, Sirius is better. And I'm like, no, good character is better than bad character.
I saw that on the Discord. I was a little too late to the conversation to jump into it. But somebody said that he was the first like comedic villain we've had since the original series. And that's wrong. Because Divatox was in Turbo.
Yeah, Divatox, unless they count all of the Zordon era as comedic, or as the original.
They could. That might be it. But I don't know if anyone remembers Divatox, but she won? She took out the Power Rangers?
Yeah, Divatox won and was rad the whole time. Do you know who else was like kind of jokey in his own way? Rancic?
Yeah.
And that guy was the best villain I think we've had so far.
Because to me, it doesn't read as he's like, oh, here's Lothar, this like funny goofy guy. This is Lothar who's so confident he's going to beat the Power Rangers that he does not take them seriously enough.
Yeah, and like he's joking because he can back it up.
Yeah,
like because they're like, Tori's like, there's five of us and one of you, what do you think? We're all together now, their dead parents said it was cool, so we're fine now. And Lothar's like, shut up, and then shoots a laser at them.
Right.
And the only reason the laser doesn't, you know, blow them up and kill them is because Hunter, like, blocks it with the Gem of Souls and it bounces back at Lothar and looks like it vaporizes him. But I think it just teleports him away.
We're like, inside the last minute of the episode.
Yeah, we are just about done.
And it all happens so fast. Lothar shoots the laser. It bounces back and pops him. They're like, yeah. They're like, oh, where did he go? And Sensei's like, I bet he's still alive. And then the credits roll. Like, that's...
Sensei... Well, no, there's one more scene after this.
Oh, that's right.
Because Sensei pulls the bubble down. He's like, Lothar's probably mad now and still alive. So be careful of that. We cut away from there to the ocean. I guess there's two more scenes, actually. So Cam is standing over the ocean with Sensei. And he's like, do you really want me to throw the Gem of Souls into the ocean?
Right.
Because it's broken up into what I thought was five pieces.
It looked like five in Hunter's hand. It was at least four pieces.
It was maybe one was a big piece, but there was at least four. So Cam has it in his hands, and he's like, yeah, chuck it in the ocean. It's very dangerous. You saw what it almost did to the Thunder Rangers. It almost made them do a murder to a gerbil, which is like serial killer behavior. We don't want that. So like, just throw it in the ocean. It's like, okay, throws it in the ocean. Three lights fly away into the ocean.
Yeah. Great arm on Cam to throw three pieces of a historical or a mystical artifact across a whole beach into the, like, pretty deep into the ocean.
Oh, yeah. And there's good grouping, too. Like, you can see them the whole way, but it was only three.
Here's where I'm starting to think maybe Sensei is a little stupid.
Okay.
You have it now. The Gem of Souls. And you're like, if this is in the wrong hands, it would be very bad. So instead of guarding it, we're going to leave it in the ocean.
Where monsters can probably get to.
Yeah, where anyone could happen, like, yeah, it's in the ocean, so it's safe from, like, me and you, from Jake and Josh.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going in the ocean.
I'm not going that deep in the ocean, no way.
I'm going to go up to my nipples, that's it.
There's spooky things in the ocean.
But you should have just kept it, maybe?
Well, see, I think maybe Cam did keep at least one part, yeah. Because, I don't know, there, you know, there's Green Ranger coming up. So yeah, we don't know.
That's true. He keeps one part. Lothor finds the three shards, but can't get it back together because it's missing a piece. And Cam uses it to become a Power Ranger.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's it was a green gem. It glued green, so like pieces are all there. I mean, three of them are in the ocean, but you know what I mean.
They're all here. We've seen them all in this episode.
We can put everything together. Then we cut back to Storm Chargers. Where Shane, I guess, sometimes works because he's mining the store.
He's there so often that Kelly was just like, hey, do you want me to pay you $7.25 to be here for 8 hours?
Yeah, because we got a race today. He's like, here you go, to this like pretty girl. And then she walks down, she's like, hey.
He does this fist pump, like, she was so pretty.
Yeah, just talk to her at my job. Like,
slip my number in her bag.
That's a weird thing to do, Shane.
Don't do it. Don't do that.
Kelly and Dustin come back in. They're both like looking pretty bummed.
Kelly's like, mad. She's huffing and puffing.
And like, what happened? And Dustin's like, Blake and Hunter didn't show. And he's like, but they were ready to go like the other day. He's like, yeah, I know. They just weren't there. And she's like, oh, fuck those kids. Like, walked away.
I want to point out, this is at least the second time I've noticed, and it may have been in every episode. Kelly is wearing green.
Is she?
I'm pretty sure. I know she definitely, in the very first episode, she definitely was. And maybe I'm just like putting it on her for the rest of this.
I think you might be right. Is Kelly the Green Ranger?
Kelly should be the Green Ranger.
She should be.
I like Cam a lot.
Same.
And I think this is a better written character if Cam is one of the Thunder Rangers and we don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a weird way to like write around it because I do like Cam a lot. But really, I just want Kelly to be more than Ernie.
Yeah, same. Then Tori comes up and she's like, hey, what's up? And they're like, Blake and Hunter didn't show. And she's like, yeah, I know. They said they were leaving and to tell you goodbye. And she like looks like sad and pretty at the camera for a minute. And then we just like kind of hang on her being like, well, I did want that boy, but he's gone now. So here we are. And then we cut to a beach where Blake and Hunter are walking away. And I think it's Blake is like, so how long do you think before we'll be back? And Hunter's like, what, do you have a reason to come back? And he's like, yeah, and you do too. And then credits, like immediately.
So that all happened from the Lothor stuff in the cave until the credits happened within like a minute and a half. It was maybe two minutes.
Yeah. But that is the end of the episode. Josh, I started.
You did.
What is the best?
I think the best is Tori getting to kill a monster with a Megazord all by herself.
I also think that. She's like, you two handle those two. I'll handle the giant monster myself. And she hopped in and she's like, I can just put a bunch of things in here and get a bunch of weapons out. I'm going to do that.
And I can just shoot the crap out of you until you blow up.
I'm going to shoot it with like a Gatling gun of lasers. It's great. Yeah, that was awesome. What's the worst?
The worst for me is... specifically, it's the Lothor stuff in the cave. Not when he shows up and like talks to them, but like everything from when he fires that laser until it leaves the cave is so fast and so meaningless. It could have just been he shot the laser, it hit the soul stone. That's not what it's called.
No, that's is that a Pokemon?
No, they have to. That's Avengers, right?
It's a soul. Yes.
Yeah, so they're going to have to fight Thanos.
Now they're going to have to fight. You know, I think the Power Rangers could probably take Thanos, if I'm being honest.
Probably.
Superheroes are cool, but Power Rangers is better. I'm gonna plant my flag in that hill, and I will die there.
If it hit that and reflected back, and he teleported out, and like it was made clear that he just like did not get hit by the laser.
It looked like it vaporized him.
Yeah.
But then said it's like, it didn't.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, it was really rushed and bad.
Yeah. I'm going to say the worst is Hunter and Blake's adoptive parents as ghosts showing up, be like, yeah, we were ninjas who died. And they're like, because of Sensei? And they're like, no, because of the one called Lothor. And they're like, oh, and he's like, anyway, bye. And they just leave. And also, their adoptive parents, who are ninjas, are just like the two whitest people they could have found.
Right.
And thirdly, the dad was a bad actor. The mom was pretty solid. She's like a solid Power Rangers actor. The dad looked like he was literally looked like he was reading off screen. But then they just dip and they're like, well, now that that's all, now that you're all better now, goodbye. And they just left. It's a pretty crappy parent. I would not avenge these two parents if I was them.
Maybe that's why they were like, oh, I guess we're fine, actually.
Like, all right. We're going to go on a beach quest.
Mom and dad didn't feel the same way about us as we did about them.
Mom, maybe. Dad did not care.
Because Hunter was trying his best to be like, to act like he was seeing his dead parents for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
You know? Blake was kind of stoic, but I feel like that's kind of, he's just like the cool stoic guy.
Yeah, I also think like if you like go back the whole episode, like Hunter is always the one who's like, we're gonna kill Sensei, like trying to do that. Whereas Blake's like, I don't know if we should, because the villain is the one that told us about this. So
yeah, there was one point when they had Sensei and they were walking through the woods, or they were heading toward the cave. When Blake was like, hey, maybe this is a bad idea. And Hunter was like, shut up, we're doing it.
We gotta do it. We gotta kill the gerbil. Oh, yeah, Lothar in the cave. Lothar's like, now give me that hamster. And Dustin's like, it's a guinea pig, thank you. Get your taxonomy right. Who's the MVP?
Tori.
It's gotta be Tora.
I don't think it could be anyone else.
No, I kind of want to give it to Cam, because I did really like Cam in this episode. But, I mean, she made a squid and a puppy into a Gatling gun in the robot she was piloting by herself. And that was pretty cool.
A Gatling gun with a drill in the middle.
Like a drill Gatling gun powered by a lion turbine. That's radical.
All Shane did was a weird flying kick after Justin threw him at other Power Rangers.
Yeah.
But he did, while kicking Hunter, shoot the crap out of him, and that was pretty cool.
I thought, because it happened at the same time, Tori's like, they all remembered Cam being like, you got to get my dad back, like not begging, but like being like, please do this. And so I thought they were like, that Dustin was going to throw Shane at Zurgane so that Tori could like
that's
regroup.
What I thought too. He's going to throw him up there and he was going to like shoot Zurgane's Zord in a weak spot or something.
Yeah. But no, just threw him in Hunter. So he shot Hunter in the weak spot. His face 20 times. So now we have to rank the episode.
Yeah, now we get to actually rank it.
Yes. So the past two episodes on our list of six, which will become a list of five in 1 second, part one is at the bottom of the list at number six, which is not to say it's bad, but just it's the worst so far, the worst episode so far.
Yeah.
And then part two is number one, which is the best episode so far. Now we have episode three, and we got to combine them into one thing and put them all in.
Yeah, I kind of want to rank this one separately and then maybe try to figure out how they go together.
Okay, I think this one will go at a solid number five. I think it will go in fifth.
So you think it's under There's No I in Team?
I think it's above There's No I in Team.
Okay, yeah, I see. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I was trying to weigh it against Prelude to a Storm.
And I think that episode, that was a really strong start to a season. Maybe the strongest we've had, at least since Time Force. Maybe might be stronger than Time Force, but Time Force was a two-part opener, so that had a lot more room to breathe. This one did a lot of work in one episode.
So I think with two episodes in the bottom half and one at the very top, I think as a total, I would put this somewhere around Looming Thunder. So Beauty and the Beach would be the new number one.
Yes, I don't think it's better than Beauty and the Beach. I do think it might be better than Looming Thunder, though, overall.
I think so, too.
So, because like that part two was the best part two a Power Rangers has ever done, with the exception of maybe Green with Evil part two, but I don't remember what that one was. So, I just remember Green with Evil like as a whole more than anything. So
at some point, they eclipsed Megazord.
That was part five, I think
it was part four.
Might have been part four.
Yeah,
it was either three or four, and I think five was like Tommy or Jason's battle or something like that. I don't remember. I might ought to watch those again. They were very good. So, coming in at the new number two, the Thunder Strangers three-parter. A pretty good showing overall.
Not bad. It's a good way to handle introducing a couple new Power Rangers kind of to the team, but like they're definitely not a team of five.
No.
That's a team of three and a team of two that sometimes team up together.
Right. And then they leave at the end, but the four-parter is called Return of Thunder, so I don't think it's going to be very long before they're back.
Right.
But that is going to do it for us for today. Whew, that was trickier to say than it normally is. Josh, what's the next episode called?
The next episode is Nowhere to Grow.
Okay.
Hey, Green with Evil Part 2?
Yeah.
That's Jason's battle.
Part 2 is Jason's battle.
And then Part 3 is the rescue, and then there's Eclipsing Megazord, and then is Breaking the Spell.
Okay. See, because Breaking the Spell is when they fight one-on-one, Jason and...
Right.
So I thought that's why that was Jason's battle. I knew Part 4 was Eclipsing Megazord.
Yeah, Jason's battle is when he's stuck in the cage with Goldar.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. Green with Evil was good.
Very good.
I mean, that's what shot that series of episodes is what shot Power Rangers into the mega powerhouse that it was for the next like 5 years until Pokemon showed up. But that's going to do it for us for today. We'll talk about Nowhere to Grow on Monday. And the next episode is only going to be one that week. And the same thing with the one after that, because right after that is a four-parter. And that's all going up in 1 week. So I need to have time to do that. So,
right.
So, yep, that's going to next week. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Now, earlier, somebody was vacuuming the lawn or something.
Oh, well, yeah, you got to get all the dirt out.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like they were doing. So it seems to be stopped now, which is good.